Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is State of Emergency.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran giving you that Friday energy on a Monday. It's the first Monday of 2020 where we're putting out an episode, right? No?
No. We had one come out last week.
Oh, never mind. It's the second Monday.
Second Monday.
In 2020.
Still just as important, but.
Just as important.
Yeah.
It's number the second two. Monday in 2020 where we're giving you a podcast. We're pumped up. Not really much going on besides.
It's been a long week. I think everybody feels that way. Because it's like everybody's first week back at work, full week. Maybe if you're in school still, you're back at school. Or a lot of people aren't even back at school yet. That must be nice.
I know. I feel like in college, you don't go back to school until the middle of January or the end of January.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
So these people are just chilling. If you're back at work like us, it's probably been a long week. You're tired. Slip a Monster Energy in there. Like we said, they're not the presenting sponsor, but we still love them. So maybe you just drink a little Monster Energy, get your day going. We've been getting a lot of DMs about this new show on Netflix. And we've also been talking about how there's a lot of TV back,
yeah.
A lot of reality TV, just TV in general. It's January. Yeah. This is when it begins. There's a new show on Netflix called The Circle. And people have been DMing us, Fran, like, we need to watch. It's right up our alley.
Yeah.
This, that, whatever.
The trailer freaked me out. I haven't watched it. You've watched it. But the trailer, I was like, I don't like this.
Yeah. So the trailer freaked me out as well. But last night I was so bored. I had nothing to watch. I don't know. I just couldn't find something to watch that I really wanted to watch. You ever get in that mood? You're like, I don't want to watch this.
Very true. I've finished. Oh, you know what we can also talk about? My God, so much TV. I did finish season two of You, but let's talk about that after The Circle.
Okay. Well, yeah. So like I was saying, I couldn't find something to watch. So I put on The Circle and within 5 minutes I was all in. I don't know why. It captivated me. It's stupid, but it's good.
Yeah.
It's cringeworthy, but funny at the same time. So basically it's called The Circle. They're in this apartment building. It's kind of odd.
Yeah.
They each have their own apartment, so they're never meeting with each other, unless certain circumstances, which I'll get to. They're never meeting with each other. They create their own profiles in their homes on this TV, like The Circle speaks to you. You pick one profile picture, you put your age, your relationship status, and then a little bio about yourself. There's 8 players. Some are catfishing people. Like one guy is pretending to be this girl, Rebecca, who's actually his girlfriend in real life.
Yeah.
So she's like, go win. And then
What makes, like, they can just decide, like, if they want to be somebody else?
I guess this was a screening before the show. It was like, if you want to be you or if you want to catfish, you do you. They're never going to see you besides your profile. And the game is basically becoming the most popular out of everyone. So there's 8 people the first day. They rank everyone based on their profiles. They chat a little bit with the people so you can decide if they like them, if they like their personality, if you think they're being catfishy, you know, because you can kind of tell when somebody's talking weird. They play a question game. So they answer questions. For instance, they did, is it acceptable to pee in the shower? Some people agreed. Some people disagreed. They thought that the one girl who agreed was catfishing because they're like, what girl pees in the shower?
Right,
but
right.
She's not
really
a catfish. Yes, it really is a girl. And then the first day they ranked all 8 people. And then the top two
pee in the shower?
No, I don't. Really? I get out. But I don't judge people who do pee in the shower.
I do sometimes.
Yeah, I totally think that's fair. I totally think that's fair.
Okay, I just wanted to clear that up I think between us.
Just for me, I get like skeeved out
a
little bit.
I normally do pee before I get in the shower, but sometimes sometimes I don't realize and I'm tired. I get into the shower and then the hot water makes me feel like I have to pee. It just happens.
Oh, I have before. Yes. I just feel like there's never.
Not a chronic pee.
No, I'm not
shower.
A chronic pee in the shower because I don't feel like I have to pee often in the shower. Like you said, you usually go before. Yep. I usually go before.
Yep.
I don't think it's a problem.
Okay.
But people were judging the fuck out of this girl.
Okay.
Which I was like, why are you judging her so hard? Like,
if
you really have to pee in the shower, it's actually
it's your own shower.
It's actually cleaner for you to be in the shower because you're going to be more clean than just taking a toilet paper and wiping yourself.
Yep.
It's way more clean. Anyways. Yeah, so that's really the point of the show. Just social media. Just winning social media.
Gotcha.
While they're all
like
in these apartments.
Creating the most popular,
most likable person,
most likable page. Yes. Like basically, if you could get like the most, who can get like the most followers?
Right, but they're not. The weird thing is they're not doing followers. It's just based on the
on
other
these people.
People.
Right.
In,
right.
Does that person like you? Does that person
like you? And not all the episodes are out. There's like an, or does, or
I think
they?
It comes out twice a week. And I think there's at least 8 episodes out. I'm not really sure how many are out. I watched the first 2. I'm definitely going to keep watching it because now I need to know who turns out to be the most likable.
Yeah.
So
interesting. Okay.
I think you would actually really be into
it. I do have to watch something else because it's so insane. But obviously there are new shows have come out this week, but they're shows that are once a week, you know, it's like they're on regular television. And I finished You, the second season of You. I have been watching the first season of Love Island Australia just because I've just learned that I need to like constantly be watching some kind of Love Island programming.
Yeah, just to fill
the
void.
So I'm halfway through that before Love Island starts in the UK, which they've been releasing all like the cast members and whatever. See, it would be interesting. We'll see what happens. But I do need something new to like kind of binge. So maybe
The Circle.
Maybe that'll be it. I really did not like the second season of You.
Okay, here's a warning. If you have not watched,
I'm not the spoiling you season, again for people.
Yeah, don't do it.
Throw
again,
back
Fran.
To when I ruined the first season.
Yeah.
We are going to talk about the second season of You.
So don't listen if you have not finished. Skip this part.
Do not listen.
Skip at least 10 minutes ahead.
Yes.
Beep, 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 beep. Okay, let's begin. The second season of You. I thought the second season was better than the first. I don't know why. I felt more.
I agree because I thought the girl was better.
I
like the girl.
I mean,
more.
I guess because she's like, I don't know. I thought she was just more annoying.
I thought she was definitely more annoying, but I don't know why. It was something about maybe because it was like sunny California.
Yeah.
But it was also kind of dark at the same time. I liked it. I liked it better than the first one. I thought the first one was way darker, even though this one was still really fucked up.
Yes.
It was just fucked up.
I don't know. I guess the first season was just a little bit more simple for me, which I liked. Like, there were so many different storylines in the second season that I was almost annoyed because, like, every storyline was like a half-assed storyline. Mm-hmm. Like, I kind of got sort of bored with the Henderson stuff.
Hendy.
And then it got to, like, the last, like, 4 episodes were crazy, so like I went through those so fast. But at the beginning I was like, what's really going on here? And then, but after I finished, I was just sitting, I was like, I know it's TV, but it's just like, it's so preposterous. Like, first of all, if Henderson is this big star that everybody says he is, like, was anybody working on his murder case? The cops didn't seem to care. Like,
nobody
really cared. They're like, oh, it's a murder, but like nobody's trying to solve his murder. There were so many blatant ginormous plot holes that I was like, all right, this is just so ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree that there were some plot holes. I think that it was very weird that they didn't figure out who killed him, but I feel like it's something that's going to happen in the third season.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope so, because that was part
I was
confused.
Thinking too.
But I did really hate when Delilah was killed.
Yeah,
I don't know why. There was, even though Delilah was really annoying, I still kind of liked her because
liked
the
Delilah
other
too, yeah.
characters in the show were more annoying than she was.
Yep.
So I was pissed when she died. I was like, what the fuck? Why is every character dying? But the next season, I guess he's going to be in love with the girl next door and he's going to maybe
married.
Who's married. He's with love. They have a baby.
But they're both murderers. I'm like, you're telling me this guy moved to LA and fell in love with somebody who's also a murderer?
Well, I think, you know, it is TV, and it would be kind of repetitive if it was just another love finds out, he kills love, he moves on. Then what? Oh, every
but
season he's just
like,
going to move
on.
He
found the perfect girl, and then he still doesn't want her. So now, like, why are we still watching, like, season 3?
Because season 3, I feel like he's probably going to cheat on love.
But the whole thing,
or
it's so psychological because he... Yeah, because he did think he found the perfect girl, but for him, the perfect girl is perfect. Like that they're untouched, like that they're pure and good. That's what he falls in love with. Now that he finds out that love is also a murderer, he doesn't like that. Like he doesn't want to be with another murderer. He wants to be with somebody who's not a murderer.
I love when he was like, "Are you crazy to love?" And I'm like, "What is going on? You're the crazy one." When she just fucking killed Candace out of nowhere, I was so mad. I was so mad.
But that's like, that's what I'm saying. She killed Candace. She puts Candace in the trunk of her car. Where the hell did Candace go? Did she clean up? There's probably a giant pool of blood in the storage unit. Like Delilah, we left Delilah in the box. There was no like wrap up of where did Delilah go? Who did that? Like they're just like, the Quinns have money. They can like cover up everything. And that was it.
Yeah, I guess when you point out all those things, but I still liked it better. Even though I liked the first season, I still think I liked this season better.
And I think you tweeted it that you're like this a show that has been good that you keep watching but you literally hate every single person on the show.
Yeah, that's
like,
I did
you
tweet
hate
that.
Every character.
I hated every character besides slightly Delilah. Yeah. Like I don't know why I kind of had a soft spot for her just because I felt bad for her.
I didn't hate Ellie either.
And Ellie, of course, I keep forgetting Ellie because she's younger, but. I hated every
character.
Where did
Ellie go?
But somebody, Ellie, he just paid Ellie off. He's like, get out of here.
He literally just gave money to a 15-year-old and was like, get on a train and then just keep taking trains.
It was.
What? No guidance, no not, like, it was, which I'm guessing because there will be a season three, I'm hoping a lot of those questions will be answered. Because the whole point of the show is like, leave you on a cliffhanger, right? So I feel like they had to kind of leave you on an insane cliffhanger for this season, but I was just blown away.
Yeah. One more thing to say, RIP 40.
Oh, they did 40 so dirty.
So dirty.
So dirty.
He deserved to live, although he was really annoying at times, and he was struggling.
40 was kind of funny sometimes.
Yeah, he was funny. He was annoying. RIP.
I know.
All right, let's get into the topics for today's show. Justin Bieber reveals that he has Lyme disease. Rob Kardashian is fighting for custody of Dream from Blac Chyna. Kim Kardashian has to defend her kitchen to the haters online who thought that she didn't have multiple refrigerators. Selena Gomez finally released her new album called Rare. Halsey put out a new song and new music video. Jake Owen released a diss track about Alabama Hannah, the one and only Hannah from The Bachelorette. And we talk a little bit about some girls from The Bachelor who may have burner accounts. And, of course, the Celebrity Conspiracy Corner. So let's get into it, starting off with Justin Bieber.
I gave you the key when the door wasn't open. Just admit it. See, I gave you faith, turned your doubt into hope, and can't deny it. Now I'm all alone and my joys turn them open. Tell me, where are you now that I need you? Where are you now?
Where are you now?
Where are you now that I need you? Couldn't find you anywhere. When you broke down, I didn't leave you. Oh, I was by your side. So where are you now that I need you? Oh, where are you now that I need you?
All right, before we jump into Justin Bieber talking about having Lyme disease over this past year and what he's been going through, we have to talk about Buffy. Buffy is the greatest comforter there is. If you're tired of being too hot one minute, too cold the next, with Buffy, you don't have to choose between hot and cold. All of their bedding is made from temperature regulating eucalyptus fiber, so you can sleep comfortably all night without waking up sweaty. Buffy has created the best comforter. I have been sleeping with my Buffy comforter for a few months now. It is truly my favorite thing. I absolutely love getting into bed at night. I'm so cozy. It keeps me so warm in the winter, but also not too hot in the summer. I have bought it towards the end of the summer because my boyfriend and I, he runs hot, I run cold. There was always a battle, but the Buffy has made it so easy for us to share. It is fantastic. I've had one for myself. I got one for him so that he has one, so that wherever I am, I am sleeping with a Buffy. I've told everybody about it. I literally asked to read ads for them because that's how much I love this comforter. It's softer than cotton. And like I said, it's sustainably produced using recyclable eucalyptus. And its fill is made from 100% recycled water bottles. There is no need to wake up in the middle of the night too hot or too cold. Buffy has you covered. I have been getting great night's sleep with Buffy. I don't want to get up in the morning. That's how comfortable I am. Buffy also offers you a free trial so you can try a comforter in your own bed for free. So if you don't love it, you can return it at no cost. But I'm telling you, you're going to love it. For $20 off your Buffy comforter, visit buffy.co and enter chicks. Once again, that's $20 off your Buffy comforter. Go to buffy.co and enter code chicks.
I said that we'd be talking about Justin Bieber because Justin Bieber had revealed that he has been diagnosed with Lyme disease last year. So he's been dealing with that. And he posted about it. TMZ posted about it first.
Yeah. I guess TMZ must have got a tip or something that this was big news that was going to be revealed in his documentary. So they posted that he will be revealing that he contracted Lyme disease. The documentary drops January 27th, and it'll discuss the scary symptoms he's had to endure in 2019. He says during much of the year, his condition went undiagnosed, and doctors struggled to figure out what exactly was wrong. TMZ was told that they don't know how he got the disease, you know, Lyme disease you get from a tick bite. And there's been all these pictures of him last year, you know, where looking upset or sad. And there, the picture that really got everybody talking was where he was leaving a Beverly Hills medical building with an IV in his arm. And everybody was kind of like, what's going on? They thought it was a vitamin drip, but it was actually to treat the Lyme disease. And doctors gave him a pharmacy full of medicine to combat his ailment before they properly diagnosed it, which one of them caused his skin to break out badly, apparently. Also checks out. They tried a lot of things before they realized that it was Lyme disease, I guess. And then what's good is that, you know, they have gotten a diagnosis. He does know what's going on. It seems like they have gotten it under control. He feels healthy enough to go on this massive tour and everything. But once TMZ posts about it, he then posts about himself.
Right. So then he posted on his Instagram. Well, I like how he was promoting that he was talking about it on his Instagram. On Twitter, he was like, talking about this my Instagram now.
Yep.
I think he went on live yesterday too. But then he had put up on Instagram the TMZ article and picture.
Yep.
And he wrote, while a lot of people kept saying Justin Bieber looks like shit on meth, etc., they failed to realize I've been recently diagnosed with Lyme disease. Not only that, but had a serious case of chronic mono, which affected my skin, brain function, energy, and overall health. These things will be explained further in a docuseries I'm putting on YouTube shortly. You can learn all that I've been battling and overcoming. It's been a rough couple of years, but getting the right treatment that will help treat this so far incurable disease, and I will be back and better than ever. No cap.
So, obviously, we'll get more details when the documentary comes out. But this does explain a lot, and it is crazy because, you know, like, obviously you see celebrities getting sick and whatnot, or if they have to cancel stops on their tour for getting sick. But I'm surprised that it really doesn't happen more often, like that these young kids who are on tour and like traveling so much, they're constantly on airplanes, meeting people, touching people, you know, all these things that they don't get like more sick. Obviously he didn't get Lyme disease from somebody else. That's a different thing.
But mono,
but
you get from
yeah, that's
people.
What I'm saying. Like to be dealing with chronic mono is
where do you get that mono
awful,
from?
Is awful.
Mono is absolutely terrible.
Mono sucks so much. And so getting that and then dealing with the effects of that for who knows how long, on top of realizing that he was also battling Lyme disease. So it's I mean, I feel for him. That is hard. And, you know, other celebrities have come out to support him. Avril Lavigne has been battling Lyme disease, as well as, I, you know, apparently they're saying that Gigi Hadid has, they had the support of the Hadid family because, you know, Yolanda also had, you know,
maybe said Yolanda and Bella
with Lyme. I think, but Bella did too. Yeah. So It is tough. And like they said, it is a disease that so far does not have a cure. So it's something that you have to live with and monitor and treat. So I just, as long as his people and they think that he is okay enough to continue to do what he wants to do, that's great.
I am happy for Justin Bieber. I feel bad for Justin Bieber. Feel very all these emotions towards him, because I'm happy that he's getting back into the swing of things, music, docuseries, all of that. But it must be really hard when you're dealing with all of this, a lot of sickness, it's a lot of pressure on you, not feeling yourself at all.
Yeah.
Who wants to work when they're sick? Nobody.
Nobody.
So I can't even imagine having mono and Lyme disease not knowing,
sucks.
Not realizing what's wrong with you. You're dealing with depression. You don't know why. You don't know why you feel this way.
Right.
So many other things that come into it. So I hope that people lay off at Justin Bieber, because they were shitting on him yesterday as well.
Yeah.
And Hailey Bieber then went on Twitter and was like, people just need to educate themselves, because they downplay how severe Lyme disease is.
Right.
Because it's not very often where you hear this person got Lyme disease, and you don't hear the bad side effects. You just.
Right. Right.
Oh, it's something they live with. And
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Yes, 100%. Because it's one of those things that, like you said, like you live with it. It also varies from person to person so much. Like, depends on when you catch it, when you're actually able to diagnose it, what kind of treatment you get. Because if it is diagnosed quickly, it can be easier to manage. If you go months without knowing that you have it can get really, really bad. Like Yolanda dealt with that, where she felt like her brain function was depleting, her memory was really bad. It was like, so things like that is really scary. My dad, when I was younger, got bit by a tick and got Lyme disease, but he had like a weird combination of Lyme disease and something else that literally no doctor could diagnose. It took him so long to finally get a diagnosis, but he was like, if you ask him now, he probably said he thought he was like gonna die, because he had no idea. They had no idea what the hell was wrong with him.
Right.
And finally he was able to get to a doctor who actually figured out what it was and what the combination was. But it is really scary. And like, I've had friends that have grown up in my town that have gotten it, who it has absolutely like destroyed their lives. Destroyed.
Yeah.
Haven't been able to finish school. Haven't, like, it's just,
it's terrible.
It's really crazy. And like you said, Hailey had to defend people, because Twitter trolls are like, well, it's not like Selena Gomez, who has lupus. Like, what?
Yeah.
Both have horrible, incurable diseases. Like, why do we have to compare them?
Right. Like, oh, sorry, it's not lupus. What? What are we doing
freaking
here?
Psychos.
Yeah, it is crazy. I was going to say something and I forgot. Well, anyways, I hope that Justin Bieber stays getting healthy. The tour is going to be a lot for him, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot to handle.
I hope he has a doctor on.
Yeah.
Travel with the doctor.
The doctor needs to travel everywhere with him.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it comes down to.
Exactly. Oh, man. Yeah. So, like you said, I hope he is okay. And I'm sure we'll find out more once the documentary drops. Rob Kardashian has filed for primary custody of Dream from Blac Chyna. TMZ first reported this, that he wants primary custody, that Blac Chyna is an endangerment to their child. The document said that Chyna regularly parties hard in her house with Dream present and invites strangers over to join her. Rob says she's drunk all the time. A former employee alleges she spends $600 on alcohol almost daily and can down an entire bottle of Hennessy. She's been accused of snorting cocaine and making violent threats to people in their home, getting physical, throwing objects. One alleged incident includes her hurling sharp objects at her hairdresser. And then this is really the icing on the cake. Rob says that Dream has started naked twerking and acting out sexual positions that she said her mom taught her.
Disgraceful. Not shocking at all, by the way, because we've seen Black China's past. Yeah. We've seen what she's done. We were hoping that this was going to be a good co-parenting situation for Black China and Rob Kardashian. From what Kendall Jenner said, Rob Kardashian is the best parent out of all of them. And it seems like he has to be, because Black China is clearly not being a good mother. You cannot have your child around Black China drinking, doing coke, practicing sex positions in front of your baby. That just is not allowed. Yeah. They got to call child services.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's getting really bad, it seems like. And then, you know, once again, you get into these kind of feuds between lawyers and statements and this, that. Now, obviously, it's going to go to court. These things are public. It's going to be very, very messy. Even Khloé is cited in this document also saying that she's noticed behavioral changes in Dream during play dates with their cousins. Khloé says when Dream first gets back from being with China, she's more in defense mode and is decidedly more aggressive. Rob wants China to submit to drug and alcohol testing no less than 30 minutes before each visit with Dream. He also asks that the supervising nanny be granted the authority to immediately end the visit if there's any violence in front of their daughter. Now, Black China's lawyer put out a statement, obviously, saying, so Rob Kardashian, who has posted illegal revenge porn against China, wants to take custody of China's beautiful daughter, Dream, away from her hands-on, extremely loving mother. And Khloé Kardashian wants to take her niece, Dream, away from her loving mother, China. Oh, please. Lynn Ciani, this is her lawyer. China will vigorously contest this latest despicable attempt to take away her daughter in a court of law, where she will keep prevailing against her ex-fiancé, Rob, and the other malicious and vindictive members of his family. Ooh, boy.
I got to side with Kardashians on this one. And it's not even close.
I'm with you on that also. I'm totally with you on that. Where's this stuff coming from? It's coming from somebody.
It's coming from Black China.
Right?
I'll tell you who it's coming from. The sex positions.
Yeah. What? Like, you
and
can't
the twerking
just,
is 100% coming from Black China.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine being a mother and just twerking and throwing it back in front of your little baby. What goes on in these people's brains?
I don't know. It is really crazy. And if these.
It's sick.
It is sick.
It's honestly kind of sick.
Yeah.
I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing at how disturbing it is.
No, it totally is. And it's time that we get some Kardashian authority involved.
Yeah, Kris Jenner. We're talking about Kris Jenner. Mm-hmm. Step in. Remove the child from Black China's facilities and never allow her to go back.
There is the tiny little bit in the back of my head being like, well, you know, the Kardashians have really tried to do everything to shut down Black China. Do you want the TV show, this, that, and the other thing? They don't want anything to do with her. So, you know, there is that little part that I'm like, maybe there is some part of this that is just trying to push Black China completely out of the family, make sure she's not involved at all. But I liked the lawyer said they call them vindictive. I don't think that they're that vindictive, you know?
I don't think they are. I don't think
they would purposely pull a child from their mom just because they don't like her.
No, I think that they're probably just looking out for her.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. You can call them vindictive just because you don't like the fact that they're calling you out on your bullshit.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed.
The glamorous, the glamorous, the glamorous, the glamorous, the glamorous, the glamorous.
So Kim Kardashian posted a picture on Instagram with her fridge in the background. You could see just milk, just water. It caused a whole stir on the internet where Kim Kardashian had to show everyone her kitchen, her many refrigerators, and even her chef. But not all of us can have a personal chef. Sometimes we just want to go home, lay on the couch, not cook, not do anything. And you know what helps with that? DoorDash. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is easy. All you have to do is open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Personally, I love using DoorDash as my go-to delivery service when I'm at home. You know, you don't like to cook every day. Not everyone likes to cook every day. I know if you say you are, or you say you do, you're lying. Sometimes you just want to sit, order food, have it delivered right to you, and you could do that with DoorDash. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities. So you might find a new favorite too. With door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada, you can order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, the Cheesecake Factory, many pizza places, whatever it is, it's yours. Don't worry about dinner because you just have to let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code CHICKS. That's $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code CHICKS. Don't forget, that's promo code CHICKS for $5 off your first order from DoorDash. Let's talk about Kim K's fridge, because this was a whole big thing. Kim Kardashian posted a picture on Instagram.
Yeah.
And one of her refrigerators were in it.
Yeah.
And it was the one that just has milk and water in it. And people freaked out. And they were like, what do you even feed your kids? Yeah. Do you even eat? You know, the whole thing.
And then she just dunked on everybody.
Dunked on everyone. Noah, can you play these Instagram stories?
Like, it was just... it was so hilarious because they're like, look at your empty fridge. Like, and she's like, oh, really? I'm rich as hell. You want to see my, like, do you want me to brag about my kitchen? I'll do it. Like, we all just asked her to brag about her kitchen.
It made me feel like such shit. I was like, where the fuck is my chef?
Oh, my God. She's
you could
like
tell
a
her
full...
chef runs out of the camera.
It was like a full industrial kitchen, walk-in fridge. Mm-hmm. Like, the pantry was so organized, everything in glass containers.
Full
multiple
restaurant.
Freezers. Oh, full restaurant. They could serve who knows how many people with all this stuff. It was just insane that, like, she would be getting shit on if she did this kind of on her own. Like, hey, guys, look at my kitchen. But because everyone just totally roasted her for thinking that she had one fridge that was empty,
she had
idiots.
To show everybody. Who, that's what I want to know. The people that were dumb enough to think that Kim Kardashian
that one
only
fridge.
Had one fridge.
Yeah.
Even I have two fridges.
Yeah, she doesn't have... one fridge. Not
like, if you have, I feel like maybe this is not just a Long Island thing, but you have the fridge in your kitchen.
In the,
and
in
then
the garage.
You have the fridge in the garage.
Yes. Yep. Yes. It's 100% yes. And it's, well, and I laugh too because I don't know why anybody would think that she doesn't have a fridge like just for milk and water, right? Like, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, when I first saw that picture, I was like, oh, that this is their weird minimalistic organization. Like, Kim's house is weird.
Very weird.
Kim and Kanye's house is weird already. So I just assume their fridge would be weird as hell too.
I need a full house tour.
Yeah.
Need a full house tour from them. No,
I'm sure
how are we
like
feeling
a,
with
I'm
those?
Sure like an Architectural Digest would be dying to get in there and just take pictures of everything.
You know, you could just go to Kim Kardashian's Instagram, right?
I know, but for some reason it won't play the audio off her Instagram story on my computer.
Oh.
I'm trying to figure it out.
That's unfortunate.
That is unfortunate.
Yeah. Well,
I could play it.
She was pretty...
I can play it right now. It'll just... there will be like a little gap in between each one, if that's okay.
Well, yeah, that would be a pause
no,
in between
no, cause
the
like,
story.
I'll play it.
Okay.
Since the inside of my fridge is so baffling and I saw all these news reports, I'm going to give you guys a tour of my fridge.
So you'll come into my pantry.
Where all the glass containers
plastic,
were.
So it's all like glass jars.
The frozen yogurt machine.
And then all my sprinkles and stuff from my frozen yogurt.
So many sprinkles.
So you come In the pantry, all there is the frozen yogurt machine. And all the little snacks. My freezer, and then I got rid of all plastic bottles. So I just have this right now. This is just my drink fridge. All my kids use a different kind of milk, you guys. My fresh juices, fresh water.
Makes sense.
That's all that's in this fridge. However, let me show
you. Why would
you
not think that she would just have a drinks fridge? Come on, people.
This is the kitchen where it all happens. Say hi, Marina. And, guys, I have walk-in refrigerator.
There it is.
Just imagine fresh produce
everywhere.
Fresh,
organic produce. We are building on the property all organic trees to grow our own vegetables and do
so they're,
our
you know,
own
they're
stuff.
Growing their own vegetables.
So all of our meals.
She's plant-based.
You guys know I eat plant-based now. So all of our stuff is in here. So it did look like an empty refrigerator.
That you can cut it there because the rest she had another pantry and another freezer
another
and another
pantry, like, chef cooking tacos.
Yeah,
I really wanted tacos.
She did
after
say
that,
that you know she is plant based, and I mean why the hell would like wouldn't she be right? Like if I had a chef who's probably top notch chef,
you're not getting better than that chef.
Exactly. And if I wanted to be like, you know what, I really want to have a plant based diet. I think it's going to be best for my health, for the environment, whatever. Whatever reason you choose to become vegan, if you just have some awesome chef who can cook you like amazing vegan meals every night, fantastic. Her plate looked delicious.
Having a chef makes everything so much easier. Diets.
Yeah.
Like anything. Oh, you want to go gluten-free? Your chef's going to figure it out for you. You don't have to do any work. Yeah. You're just being fed.
I really can't believe that people thought that she wouldn't have more kitchen space, that there wouldn't be like other, like, yes, that's her drink fridge. And then there's probably another fridge. And there's the walk-in fridge and there's this fridge. And then just because everybody gave her shit, she was able to dunk on all of us with all of her rich people kitchen things.
Yeah. It was like her bathroom with her flat sinks.
Yep.
Of course. And this is just another case of the internet being dumb.
Yeah. Just gotta know that Kim would have a fridge strictly for drinks. I mean, she had one that was just water and it was, it was basically empty.
It was just
there was
water.
Like some glass containers of water, some box water and some Perrier cans. And then the other fridge was the juice and the milk. Like there were two completely separate fridges.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you think they're allowed to drink anything but water and milk?
No, probably.
Do you think
I'm
they
sure
can have
juice
soda?
Is. Oh, oh.
Do you think soda's a thing?
I don't think so. I think soda's definitely not allowed.
You don't think the Kardashians dabble in soda ever?
I doubt it. I actually could, you know, maybe sometimes, but I doubt they keep it in their own house. Chloe's fridge, she's had some, though, I feel like. When we've seen Chloe's fridge and it's all, like, color-coordinated and organized crazy because she's so organized like that, I feel like I've definitely seen soda in there before. But Kim's crazy fridge. Everybody was freaking out about it, but there you have it. Just multiple fridges.
Yeah. Thank you, Kim Kardashian.
Yep.
For clearing that up.
There was something else I wanted to say about her kitchen, and now I forget. Oh, her house must be, her electric bill must be out of this world.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter to them.
No, it does.
You know what I mean?
It
like
does
talking
not
about
matter.
Their electric
That's,
bill is.
It does not matter because, like I said, if you're rich, you can have stuff like that, but I'm just thinking like, so all those the amount of electricity that house uses. I just want to know.
That wouldn't have crossed
I just want to know the number. Oh my god, so many fridges and freezers plugged in.
Yeah, but I feel like it doesn't cross my mind because I'm not worrying about it. And even if I did live there, I wouldn't be worrying about
she's
it.
She's not worried about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Nobody's worrying about it
at that house. Definitely not.
Definitely not.
Definitely
not a worry in the world.
They fell in love one summer, a little too wild for each other. Shiny till it wasn't. Feels good till it doesn't. It was the first real lover. His due till he had another. Oh girl, but she found out. Trust levels went way down. Of course she was sad, but now she's glad she dodged a bullet. Took a few years to soak up the tears, but look at her now. Watch
Selena Gomez, new album. She put out her new album called Rare. And I haven't listened to the whole thing. I've heard a few songs. I think we should play some of them.
We can definitely do that. I listened to the whole thing. I will tell you my first initial kind of like gut reaction was okay. Like it didn't knock it out of the park, didn't knock me out of the water. But catchy too. They all kind of sound the same. And I like that this is the first song in the album. It's called Rare. And she put a music video out today for it, which is very, she looks very beautiful. But it's a journey. Like you, it's a. It feels like you don't care. Why don't you recognize I'm so rare? It's really the main point. It's a big, like, lyrical journey, I would say. Mm-hmm. Like, she's telling a long story
through her songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that it's my cup of tea, although I've liked a lot of Selena Gomez songs in the past. None have really jumped out to me, the ones I've heard.
Right.
I didn't listen to the whole
album. It has a little bit of a Taylor Swift vibe, but
kind of sounds the same every song.
Yeah, there's, and we'll play some of them so you can tell, but the, I don't know, like, there have been some standout smash hits from Selena, but most of them like kind of are the singles that she's come out with, you know? Like I can't really say that I've listened to like a full, I mean, I have listened to most of her music, but like there isn't an album of Selena's that I've listened to multiple times start to finish, like the whole album.
Right.
So I think, you know, you have to try it out, and I listened to the whole thing, but
let's play some more. What's the name of this one?
This is the second song. It's called Dance Again. This is another one that's like, feels like a post-breakup. She's dancing again. She's getting back into it. She's getting back out there, getting her confidence back. She says, happiness ain't something you sit back and wait for. Confidence is throwing your heart through every brick wall. So she's fighting. She's dancing again. But every song kind of feels like the same, I don't know, back. But I also like it because it feels like they go with one another. Like you listen in order and it kind of makes sense. It feels like one whole long message. The third song is called Look At Her Now, which is kind of, it feels like a, hey, you know, look at her now. Every song is very well titled.
Yeah, they all mean what they say. It's literally written in the words.
Yep. Dodged a bullet, baby.
We've heard this one before.
Yeah. I was just going through all of it because
might as well.
Yeah,
let's go.
Because they all connect. They all kind of make sense. Four obviously is Lose You Love Me, which we have heard. We'll play a little
bit.
We'll
play a little bit anyway.
Yeah,
have to for the message.
Yes, just to go through the whole thing. I think this is, I haven't decided yet, but I still think this is the best song on the album. I put you first and you adored it. Set fire to my forest and you let it burn. Sang off key in my chorus, cause it wasn't yours. I saw the signs and I ignored it. rose-colored glasses are distorted. Set fire to my purpose. So, you know, here she... It jumps back and forth, you know. Here, back to really full expression on deep into that breakup. And then it goes full turn. The fifth song is Ring. And it's just kind of about, like, being the shit, kind of.
You all in your feelings, baby. All into me. I'm one in a billion, baby. Don't you agree?
A lot of self-love from this album, which I really like.
Yeah, I was
like,
expecting
that.
Like,
she is just, she is about herself and she's feeling good, which is good.
This one's a little different.
Yeah. And then six is Vulnerable, which I feel like we're kind of back on Bieber a little bit. Like, there's, it goes in and out, right? It's like, you, this song's so clearly about a breakup. The song is about being out of a breakup. This is post-breakup, so this seems like this was in the time of period when she was trying to decide if she wanted to get back with him.
Sounds like that one she put out, Nothing Breaks Like a Heart.
Yeah, nothing, yep.
This is one of my favorites.
Yeah, I like this I one, like but this I think one. I like it because it sounds like Nothing Breaks
like a Miley
the
song.
Heart. Yeah.
And then the next song, the seventh track, is People You Know. Kind of just seems like a moving on song. Like, it's like Vulnerable was like, oh, maybe I should try again with this person. And People You Know is like, that was probably a mistake.
You might want to take that back.
Yeah, yeah. So many wasted nights with you. I still can taste it. I hate it. Wish I could take it back. Wish I could take it back. Be close, but people can go from people you know to people you don't. And what hurts the most is people can go from people you know to people you don't. We used to be close, but people can go from people you know to people you don't. Like I said, it's a very lyrical album. Like, every song I listen to, I'm like, damn, like, you... I just feel like it is very clear what she's talking about.
Yes. And
they're good lyrics. Like, I feel like they're great. This is like a great moving on breakup album that if people will definitely go back to for songs like that, you know?
Yeah. And the beat to the songs all kind of have the same.
Yeah. They're all in the same sound. Synth pop kind of situation. The eighth track is Let Me Get Me. It's kind of like.
Let Me Find Myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me be me, you know? Mm. Like a prayer surrounding us, moving effortlessly. Every word is relief. I'm a dance floor therapy on my babies and me. But tonight it's for free. No self-sabotage, no letting my thoughts run. Me and the spiral are done. Burn this camouflage I've been wearing for months. Trying to let a little happy and full.
Oh,
feel like she's just breaking out of the mold. You
sounds
know?
Like she's been doing a lot of dance stuff.
Yeah, which is great. A lot of dance breaks. Just like kind of stuck doing the same stuff. She's trying to do something new. Number 9 is Crowded Room. There is a feature on this song, and you guys are going to have to tell me who the feature is, because how do you say?
Six Black.
I mean, I don't know
who that is. I'm
the, being the six is in place of the letter B, so I'm like, how do you say this guy's name?
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but I know his songs.
Yes.
I've always struggled with pronouncing the song Problems.
Yeah, yeah, yes. So now Selena is ready. She's like, she's dating again. She's in a crowded room. She's looking at people.
You go,
she's trying
Selena.
To break the ice.
Maybe it's Slack.
Good point.
So won't you call me in the morning? I think that you should call me in the morning. If you feel the same, guys. Baby, it's just me and you. Baby, it's just me and you. Just us two, even in a crowded room. Baby, it's just me and you. Oh, it's just pronounced Black. Quick Google search, shall we? Engulfed in the flames, engulfed in the shame, betrayed by your imagination, and over my head, but that's all right. There we go. So won't you call me in the morning? I think that you should call me in the morning if you feel the same, guys. Baby, it's just me. There she is. I mean, it's you don't have to listen to the whole thing, but there is a feature on this song. 10 is Kind of Crazy, where it's sort of just like, don't do crazy shit, and then say I'm the crazy one.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty fair. Started out sweeter than hard candy. Words were like licorice to the taste. Slowly all the sugar went to waste. Went to waste. Oh, you started getting funny with no jokes. I started seeing through you like a ghost. Now I'm pretty sure I can't take no more. I can't take no more. I think you're kind of crazy. I'm not the good kind, baby. Cause you're acting super shady. You know it, you know it. Been dodging phone calls lately, but still texting me, baby. Yeah, I think you're kind of crazy. You know it, you know it. The lying just for fun. Not great for those rumors way back when that said that, you know, Justin was still trying to text Selena on the side.
Ooh, you think?
Hey, but been dodging phone calls lately, but still texting me, baby.
I don't like the sound of that.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, 11 is Fun, which I think this is my favorite. I think this is my favorite song on the album. Not sure yet, but so far, I think so. She's just having fun, you know? This is a good anthem.
Just having fun.
Yep. Some kind of symmetry. I'm a sensitive situation. You're a hot and cold combination. We both know we got complications. If I'm looking at you and me, we're on some kind of symmetry. I try not to bother, not to bother you. Just like a boppy. This one's definitely the most, one of the more boppy ones, I think. 12 is Cut You Off. We're getting towards the end of the album. And, you know, we're getting like a definitive end I think cut you off is literally, you know, this is where she cuts you off. See ya, buddy.
See ya, Justin.
You
might,
yeah, if you want to think that's Justin, probably.
I'm probably just going to go with Justin on that one.
Yep. I might as well just tell you while I'm drunk, yeah. The truth is that I think I've had enough. Professionally messing with my trust. How could I confuse that shit for love? So I gotta get you. This is also the only song with a little explicit next to you. You know, she throws shit in there. Just see, that's not a big cursor, but that's one of them.
It's like when Chris Harrison lets one out.
Yep. When I'm without you. So you know she means business. I don't overthink it, I just carry on. Get you out my head now. I just cut you off. I imagine all the endless places I could know. And then the last song is with Kid Cudi, which interesting dynamic. Wouldn't expect them to do a song together, but it's great. It's called A Sweeter Place. And I think it's a great way to end the album. Like, she's just in a better place. She's in a
sweeter place.
She's in a sweeter place. Like I said, pretty straightforward.
Through and through.
Like, it is, there's really not like uncovering any hidden meanings. The meanings are pretty clear as day. We can sugarcoat.
I'm in a sweeter place.
Yeah.
I like the journey of this album.
It is a journey, but it's like the way it ends, you're like, hell yeah. Selena.
Oh, great. Play the whole one.
Yeah. There must be a sweet app. This voice,
yeah,
you know.
That's why I still listen to the Kanye album with him, even though I don't think it's that good, but it is kind of good at the same time.
That's the rare album. I also feel like Kid Cudi, like, it's probably pretty hard to get Kid Cudi on your song, but I feel like he can respect this, like, kind of mental health journey that Selena Gomez has been on, and to, like, be on the song that closes the album that says she's, like, in a good spot.
Definitely.
Matches him.
That one I will definitely listen to again.
Yeah.
I don't know about the whole rest of the album.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because I don't think it's bad. I don't think you put out a bad album.
We love Selena Gomez. Yeah, you don't necessarily have to love her music.
No. But I think that it's great that she's back in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
She finally put out the album. She seems very happy from what we're seeing on social media, although we don't know her, so we don't know for sure. But from what we're seeing, I think that she looks good, happy, healthy. Hopefully she continues to put out music. Maybe this won't just be the end.
I saw that she's debating a tour, maybe. Nothing set in stone, but she would like to do a tour for this album. So like you said, she seems like she's in a great place, and Every time I hear Lose You to Love Me, it gets stuck in my head. So
I've been singing Lose You to Love Me all day. Like, I don't know why.
Every time I hear it, it's still like we just listened to that whole thing, and that is what is playing in my head still. Obviously, because it's the one that we're most familiar with, also. But
and she put it out first.
Hits home. It's easily the best song on the album. Very emotional.
I wonder what other people really think about the album.
I really like Fun. I really like Vulnerable. I like Rare, too. I mean, people like Rare. It's sometimes the first song on the album kind of gets overlooked, I feel like, sort of with Harry Styles. And, like, I love Golden, but I feel like people don't talk about Golden as much.
I always skip the first song when I go through an album, yeah. And then I go back to the first song.
Yeah.
Because I don't think when you hear that first song, you're not...
Right.
You're not prepared yet. You know what I mean? You're not deep in the album. Like, she was deep into Harry Styles' album, and I love that song.
Yeah.
And then I went back and listened to Golden a few times.
Golden's great.
Man, I think Golden might be one of my favorites.
It is. It is.
But it was the first song on the album.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of just gets overlooked. That's like, but I mean, Rare, I think this is kind of what is next single-wise or whatever. That's the song that's getting the most traction from the album. She put a music video out for it where she's like this jungle fairy princess. Beautiful. It's just like it's a lot. It's very colorful, very bright. She kind of has magic power, sort of, I guess you could say. Just because like she's rare. Duh.
That's why the album is called Rare.
Yeah. So all in all, good stuff. I'm not quite sure. I haven't really seen what a lot of the, you know, critical review is.
Yeah,
on
I was thinking
album.
I haven't even heard any friends of mine or anybody online talking. I haven't seen any thoughts about the album.
I mean, I've talked to my friends about it and everybody has kind of agreed like, oh, it's good. Nothing really jumps out as like, oh, I'm gonna blast this one on repeat.
Right.
You know?
I'm gonna go home just so I could specifically drive in my car and listen to music because that's the best way to listen to music.
But
I'm not gonna do that with this album.
I think critically, it is doing very well. Vulture wrote that Rare is almost inarguably Selena Gomez's best album.
I'm going to go to the iTunes.
The LA Times wrote Selena Gomez just released her first great pop album. Selena Gomez returns unbothered and at her best on Rare. So it seems like Selena Gomez's Rare is a danceable lesson in self-love and acceptance.
Yeah, she's Rare is number two. Right now,
I saw it said it was like number one in 55 countries.
Yeah, well, nobody works harder than the Selena Gomez stands. Like, it's those people are dedicated, and it is unreal. She said that she did a whole Zane Lowe interview for Apple Beats One. I haven't listened to it yet, but that's where she talked about wanting to go on tour and whatnot. But apparently she said that she wrote Lose You Love Me after coming home from a treatment center. So it was just a big, she said, we were still the last day writing music. Like the song I personally think is going to be one of our biggest as well. She didn't specify what song that might be, but implied that it might be the next single after Lose You Love Me or Look at Her. Oh, maybe Rare. Oh, no. Lose You to Love Me happened when I had come home from tour. It was on Valentine's Day that we wrote it, and I think that's probably one of my favorites. And it was our first time seeing... What am I reading? Talking about herself? Oh, she's just talking about herself in the third person. I think it was just one of my favorites just because we were all reunited again and doing it again. So. And she wrote a lot of these songs with Julie Michaels.
Yeah, I like knowing that they actually wrote the songs. Because a lot of times... And people put out songs, they're not the ones actually writing it, which is fine because they're singing it and they're amazing singers. But it seems like she put a lot of work into this album.
Yeah, definitely. Or maybe Julia Michaels wrote Lose You to Love Me?
For Selena?
Yeah. I guess. Or maybe not. I don't know. I'm confused. It says, Gomez also shared that the hook from People You Know came from a friend of a friend, and Julia Michaels also went into her own inspiration for writing Lose You to Love Me. They wrote it. It's all a group effort, but...
group effort, yeah. whatever.
She's still multiple writing partners.
She's working hard. She worked yep. hard to put out this album. It's finally here. And yeah. we'll see if here she puts out more
she
music.
Said, when I walked in, it was literally just the piano and the chorus and a bit of the first verse. And I just sat there. And I tell people this, too, because it was also such a very raw moment. A, I had just gotten back from the mental health facility. And B, we were in the bright daylight. And that's not normally how you're maybe talking about something like that. So this is great. I always like seeing, I always like reading these interviews where they kind of go into the process of making each song and whatnot. So, but I'm telling you, I think it is getting, seems like pretty great reviews. Selena Gomez Rare Review, a pop album worth the wait.
Okay, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
good for Selena Gomez.
So far, all good stuff.
Good for Selena.
Yeah, I'm happy for her. She deserves it.
Me too. Halsey put out a new song and new music video. It's called You Should Be Sad.
And it is stellar.
It's amazing.
So good.
First off, let's play the song.
I want to start this out and say, I gotta get it off my chest. Got no anger, got no malice, just a little bit of regret. No, nobody else will tell you. So there's some things I gotta say.
Song.
So, I mean,
her voice just
Halsey,
gives me chills.
It really does. And Feidelberg had tweeted it out today. Like, she is just has not missed. Like, every song that she puts out is awesome. He's so right. She has a new album coming out next week. The whole thing is going to be amazing. The music video is like a giant, sexy cowboy orgy,
mm-hmm.
kind of.
I think that's
I would
how
say.
I describe it. It's hot.
Yeah, because well, and she's also one of those artists that can like jump into different genres and it works no matter what. Like this clearly has like a country vibe to it. It has that undertone to it, but it's still like a pop rock country.
Punk rock.
Like it's still so sick, and that's why she's just like so talented. And she sounds great. She looks super hot in the video.
Super hot. Can't look hotter.
But,
she looks so hot.
So hot. Like, if whoever this song is about, like, they watch this video,
Jeezy.
You gotta, I mean, it's got, I would think it's gotta be Jeezy.
I hate Jeezy. You know I hate Jeezy.
I know, and I think this just really gives you a lot of backup. Like, the lyrics to this song just really, like, are such a giant fuck you to if this is...
Good.
What who we are guessing would probably be G-Eazy, where she says, I'm so glad I never, ever had a baby with you, was very interesting.
That was real. Like, to just throw that into a song, you never really hear that in music.
I mean,
I'm
that's
so glad I didn't have a baby
like,
with you.
Well, yeah, because that's like some real life mean shit.
Yeah, like they definitely had this conversation before.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'm so happy we didn't have a child.
Yeah.
Fuck you, G-Eazy. I don't know if it's to G-Eazy or not, but.
Well, right. I mean, there has been, like, who
she's
knows what
with
Evan
she's
talking about. I don't know. We haven't really seen much from them in the last couple months. So I'm not sure, but you know, she has talked about, it's such a real thing for her because she has talked about like wanting to be a mom and wanting a family. Like she's been open about having a miscarriage while she was on tour. So there have been, I feel like, events that happen where this line like does make so much sense mm-hmm. because it is something that is so important to her. And then what also makes me think, geezy, is you can't fill the hole inside of you with money, drugs, and cars. I mean, what other ways are there to describe Jeezy? Like, you look at Jeezy's Instagram, money, drugs, cars. Like that, he's always posing in some black and white photo in front of some car.
I hate Jeezy. I just hate him. I can't explain why. It's just a hate that I've had for years now. Ever since we started Chicks in the Office, for some reason, I've always said, I just hate Jeezy. I get a bad vibe from Jeezy.
Yeah.
A weird vibe. I don't know about him. The song No Limit with ASAP Rocky and Cardi B. It kills me because I love the both of them. And Jeezy's in it. It's a good song. It sucks. I love Halsey. Seriously, her voice is, I think, one of my favorite voices. You know, if that's possible to have a favorite voice of a singer, it's Halsey. Every time I hear the song Without Me.
Oh.
I have chills run through my entire body.
I've loved, she's released three songs from this. I guess it's been three. This has been the third song she's released from this upcoming album, Manic. And I want to see if I can look at what else. Graveyard was one. Okay. Apple Music.
Beautiful Stranger.
I like Nightmare.
And finally, Beautiful Stranger is also awesome. Why can't I, you know, sometimes Apple Music is just annoying.
I feel like John Mayer is going to be on this album.
You think so?
I would guess. I would bet money on it.
Ooh, want to bet money on it right now? I would say that he's not on it.
I'll say that he is.
Okay,
let's. But maybe he's like not a feature, but he's definitely in it.
What do you mean he's not a feature,
like
but he's definitely
like,
in
it?
Like
he has a guitar solo, but you like.
Okay, it'll so come John out that Mayer. He's in it. In the album.
You think there's going to be some kind of, it won't be a full, I mean,
it won't say
it won't
Mayer,
be a
but,
full credit because you can look, her
no,
whole, the
I'm
whole
saying.
Thing is out. Like he's not listening.
Wow, I wish I fucking put the bet down.
I'm
oh man,
saying,
I wanted
I think,
to bet 50
I think
bucks on it.
He'll be credited on us on one song.
Okay, I'm not doing that. That's right. You now,
I mean,
you
because that's,
went down
that's
and down
really,
and down to get
like,
to the most
credited on one
thing
song. He could play like the guitar riff on one song.
I'm sure that he like, maybe co-wrote a song. I don't know.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to bet you on that because I thought you were talking about being actually on the song. Like, la, 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 I'm John Mayer.
I am so pumped.
For her new album?
Yeah.
I'm pumped as well.
Super producer Greg. Oh, Kirsten has also worked with Adele and Sia. It's Halsey holding the torch. Listen to You Should Be Sad Now and Priyad. Yes, it's upcoming soon. Right now she has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 songs that have been released. Clementine, which I have not heard. Graveyard, You Should Be Sad, Without Me is on this. That was the first one. Finally, Beautiful Stranger, and Suga's Interlude?
Is this
Clementine?
I'd like to tell you that my sky is not blue, it's violent rain. And in my world, the people on the street don't know my name. In my world, I'm 7 feet tall, and the boys always call. And the
Her voice is just so awesome.
Too. Because in my world, I'm constantly, constantly having a breakthrough. Or a breakdown, or a blackout.
I feel so calm, I might fall asleep. I'm gonna have to shut it off.
So what I'm saying, like, she just has, every song has such a different vibe.
I don't need anyone. I just need everyone and then some. I don't need anyone, I don't need anyone, I just need everyone and then some. Wish I could see what
it's
like.
So that's what we have. The new album comes out next week. The music, like we said, the music video is super hot. Tons of different looks from her. She can also like rock any outfit, like any different color hair, different wigs, different looks. She's just completely naked on a white horse at one point in this video. Like, there's, and every time you're like, damn. It's just
awesome. She's like one of the hottest people ever and also super talented.
Yep. And the video is really awesome. If you have not seen it, go watch it. I'm not gonna write you a love song. So Hannah Brown, you know, she got a text message from her mom saying that Jake Owen wrote a song about her. She then listened to the song, and boy, I'm sure she felt some type of way about that song. We're going to talk about it. You can listen to the full song. But you know what Hannah needs to get over the stress of having a country diss track written about you? It's Sunday Scaries. Sunday Scaries is the leader in the CBD space. They have created a niche for themselves by addressing America's anxiety problem. This is emphasized with their clever product names, hilarious memes, comedic content, and for not taking themselves too seriously. They encourage people to get out of their own heads and live life to the fullest. Like I'm saying, bam, Hannah just had a country music star write a whole song about her, saying, basically from Pete's perspective, saying that she needed to get out of his life, and that is exactly the time that you need Sunday Scaries. It's a play on the name, obviously. If you've had a long weekend and Sunday night rolls around and you're thinking about everything that happened, you thinking about how much work you have to do on Monday, all those things hit you at once. It's the perfect time for the CBD gummies. Rhea and I have loved the Sunday Scaries, especially for those times on a Sunday night. You know, you have a long week coming ahead. You're thinking about everything from the weekend. You just need to de-stress a little bit and relax. It's the perfect way to chill out. You know, maybe you're having dating problems, work problems, just everyday crap that is getting you down. Sunday Scaries are the best CBD gummies. You can get 15% off with code CHICKS at sundayscaries.com and stop dreading that everyday bullshit in life that doesn't actually matter. That is 15% off with code CHICKS at sundayscaries.com. Hannah Brown should use this code. Jake Owen put out a song called Alabama Hannah. It's 3 minutes long. It's a full song where he's basically wrote it from Pete's perspective, and it's just a good old country diss track.
Let's play it.
Alabama Hannah, what do you want?
I need the lyrics in front of me.
It's love that you need. Well, then, honey, it's gone. Well, you had your chances, so won't you leave me alone? Alabama Hannah, won't you go on back home?
Just get the fuck out of here, Hannah.
Cause I've been out here in California.
Yeah, here it picks
I've
up.
I've been soaking up the sun. There's lots of pretty ladies. I can't pick just one. I'm flying high, got peace of mind, already raised the bar. Now you're showing up here tonight. Who do you think you are? Alabama Hannah, won't you roll on with the tide? Alabama Hannah, wipe them tears from your eyes. You're a beauty queen and a dancing star, and I think you'll do just fine. Alabama Hannah, Lord, honey, get out of my life.
Get out of my life. It's just such a harsh line.
Lord,
get out of my life.
Well, I guess you think you messed up since you seen me moving on. Thinking we could pick up, honey, right where we left off. but you gotta lay in the bed you made, and I hate to let you down. Girl, this ain't no windmill. We can't go round and round. Ooh. Alabama, Hannah, won't you roll on to the tide?
Spitting country lyric fire.
Alabama, Hannah, wipe them tears from your eyes. Ugh. You're a beauty queen and a dancing star, and I think you'll be just fine. Alabama, Hannah, girl, won't you get out of my life? Girl, get on with your life.
So that's the song.
Wait, gotta let, can you play his little message at the end? Because I think that's the most ruthless part.
I think that's for anybody out there that's got that person. No, it's like, not. Just like, you know, like make it or break it. You know what I'm saying? So that, I love Hannah Brown. She's awesome. So that was new, but that was... That's it. There you go. Love just, you guys.
Just and, a hilarious. And, hey, I think this song's just for everybody, but I wrote it from Pete's perspective about Hannah, and the whole song is about like it's direct instances about them.
Just ruthless. And then
so good.
It's funny. It's good. Then Hannah went on her story and she said, "You know what, guys? I've wanted a song written about me. It's a song. It may be a diss, but it's a song." She thinks it's funny. She said it's not meaner than what the 40-year-old moms on Facebook say about her, which is true because nobody could be meaner than those people. And then at the end, it's kind of funny because it was one of those things where she's laughing and she thinks it's funny, but you know that it had to hurt her a little bit at some point. Like, she probably goes back and forth with it. Like, haha, yes, I think it's funny, but also,
I love my Team Hannah B people that, you know, are looking out for me. But to be quite honest, like, this is funny. At least, like, the shade, the diss is, like, catchy and you can tap your foot to it. But it's not near as brutal as what some of these 40-year-old Facebook moms say about me. So... freaking good.
It's kind of like the little kid, the little boy in, you know, the gif of or whatever you want to call it,
gif.
Yeah, I'm back to saying gif. I've decided there was a long battle. I'm back to saying gif. I started saying gif to begin with. I changed because you said gif. Now I'm going back to gif.
I am a gif person through.
It's always gif.
Gif.
I know it is, but
the G is graphic.
But the creator of GIF says it's GIF, so
he says it's stupid the way he says it, okay? Because like Noah said, it's GIF.
Yeah, well, I had said GIF always, and GIF just for me, I just rolls off the tongue more. I don't know why. The little kid, you know, who was like laughing in the interview, and then he's like, oh, I'm sad.
Yeah,
you know,
that's,
I feel like kind of this instance. But It's a catchy song. It's a good song. Poor Hannah.
And you know I'm not a country music fan.
No, you are not.
But I was bopping my head to this one.
I know. I do just feel bad for her because it's so funny. Like, it's like people think this, there's no way she did this all on her own on this show. Like, she's definitely still under contract. She definitely had producers up her ass about being on the show a billion times. Just has to roll with the punches at this point. There's really no way to get around it. Like, if you're under contract and they're like, hey, we need you to make an appearance on this season, like, she can't say no. So,
I guess when you're under contract. Yeah. I think they're really strict.
Oh, 100%.
Like, have we seen that from time and time again, how strict they can be?
Yes, exactly.
But what do you think Peter feels about this? We talked about this on the group chat. What do you think Peter feels? Because Jake Owen just wrote a point of view song from Peter.
I think you just like it. Like, you're like, damn, that's cool. Jake Owen just wrote a song about me. Like,
well, he didn't write it. He wrote it from his perspective.
Yeah. I think that's just an honor.
Just saying the words for him.
Yeah.
That he can't say.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, I know you'd like to thank you. Shit don't stink, but lean a little bit closer. See, roses really smell like boo boo. Yeah, roses really smell like boo-boo-boo. Yeah, roses really smell like boo-boo-boo.
There's rumors that Madison has a burner account. It's very funny. We had a bunch of people send it to us that it went viral on the Bachelor Reddit. That she, you know, she wrote, I mean, she had posted a picture of her and Peter from the date with the caption, "Woke up feeling super grateful, the most perfect day, date with the perfect guy." And the screenshot of it, the post is from 2 days ago. And then the comment is, I mean, somebody got it right away. I don't know who did it this fast. 22 seconds. Is from her same account, Maddie Prue. "Beautiful date, Maddie. You are so genuine and real." Heart emoji. So people are like, oh no, she clearly didn't change from her actual account to the account that she has to comment nice things about herself.
Just, you really hate to see that happen to poor Maddie. Because we liked Maddie.
Yep.
I still like Maddie.
Totally.
But the fact that she has separate burner accounts to hype herself up, I guess you got to do what you got to do. Or could potentially
run like a full fan account for herself.
Yeah, maybe runs multiple. We've seen, I don't know why I keep going to Don't Fuck With Cats, but Luca Magnotta, he had those multiple fan accounts he was just making himself.
Yep.
So who knows? It sucks. I feel bad, but it's hilarious. I mean, you just got caught red-handed. There's nothing you could do besides own it now.
Definitely. And it made me think, like, I have seen so many random, like, Instagram fan accounts for people that just aren't really that famous. And I'm just like, who makes these? And now I'm like, it's definitely just themselves.
It's just them. We can go make fan accounts about ourselves.
Yeah, this is it's definitely just these people. She didn't make that switch. Super unfortunate. I would love to know what the name of the account. Like, I wonder
Maddie Pew fan.
Like, I wonder if she deleted it and then commented what she meant to comment on it, you know? Yeah, from the actual account. To try and find the fan account. But no, yeah, she got caught. Definitely.
She got caught, and
it's just very funny.
Very funny stuff. And I think this is the first time we've seen something like that from a Bachelor contestant.
Yeah.
Blowing up their own spot with fan accounts or a burner account, whatever it is.
Totally. Did she turn? Oh, no. For a second, I thought she turned off the comments on her Instagram, but my Instagram was just moving really slow.
I think that.
Oh, her friend. Her friend commented, "Oops, thought I wrote that comment about being real and genuine from my account, but was logged into Maddie's from when she got back from filming. Don't hate me, at Maddie Prue." So her friend is saying that she had access to Maddie's account when she was away filming and that she forgot to switch it from the friend's account.
Yeah, okay, Maddie.
Maddie responded back, "Haha, you're good. It happens. Love you."
Yeah, that was set up. She said, "Hey, can you comment on my page and act like you were logged into my account?"
Yeah.
Why would she not be logged out by now?
Yeah. That's
if I was Maddie, I'd be like, "Why are you still logged into my account? Log out of my account."
People are like, "Wouldn't that mean you haven't logged into your own account since you finished filming?" That's not necessarily true. You can have multiple accounts. So maybe she did just never log out of Maddie's account, but the burner account is a way funnier story.
Way funnier story, and the one that's way more likely. All right, welcome back to another edition of Celeb Conspiracy Corner, aka Celebrity Conspiracy Corner.
Not Caleb Not Celebrity Caleb Corner. Conspiracy Corner.
Celeb Conspiracy Corner. This week, we are going to focus on the crazy conspiracy that Katy Perry is actually JonBenet Ramsey.
Yes. So,
we know this is dark, and if you don't, or if you're not into this, just shut it off.
Yeah. And it is one of those ones that feels obviously very far-fetched, but it has become one of the more popular celebrity conspiracies out there. Like, I think a lot of people might not know the details of it, but they know that this has happened, that people have made this comparison before. And if you don't know about JonBenet Ramsey. She was a little girl who was murdered when she was 6 years old on Christmas Day in 1996 in Boulder, Colorado. It was one of those, like, one of those cases that absolutely took the world by storm. She was a young, very cute girl who would do pageants. So there's all these, like, you know, crazy done up photos of her. And still to this day, it's unsolved. There's two big theories: that it was the parents or a member of the family, or that it was an intruder, because there was a ransom note that was left in the house. She had gone missing. There was a ransom note asking for money. They called the police, and you know, they searched the house. They didn't find anything. 8 hours after they reported her missing, her father went downstairs into the basement. There was like a latch door. He looked in there, and she was in there. She was strangled to death. There was like blunt force trauma to the head, and she was strangled to death. But he carried her upstairs. So there was like, they're saying, you know, first, like, the DNA was messed up because that's, you know, the crime scene. She was already touched when he carried her upstairs. It went back and forth. The case was open and closed so many times, where like the DA had thought it was definitely a member of the family. Then they thought it wasn't. Then they thought it was. So it was a very, very long process. There was a CBS special. I mean, there's been specials about her endlessly, but there was one on CBS a few years ago that basically made it seem like, this is 2016, that made it seem like it was her older brother and he had done it, but then the parents tried to cover it up, that the kid, you know, the whole thing. But then he had sued for defamation. It's endless, still unsolved. It's definitely, I think, for all those true crime people, it's one of the most, like, fascinating stories there are, and I'm sure there's a billion true crime podcasts you could listen about about this that would explain it better than I'm doing right now. But a theory took storm in 2014 when this YouTuber posted a video. Most of these conspiracies really just start by with a random YouTuber, like, just posting something insane as the title and running with it.
Random YouTuber, and then it usually gets taken down. So this video is no longer up. They always get taken down. Yeah. Every single time we talk about a conspiracy, like, there was a YouTube video, you can no longer watch it.
You can no longer watch it because it is absurd. So the YouTuber Dave Johnson posted this in December 2014. The video was like, Katy Perry is JonBenet Ramsey. And he basically claimed that nobody died, nobody got hurt, that she was sacrificed in name only in return for later becoming a star. They're saying that she was not killed, that she was kidnapped, and this was all part of the, like, Illuminati, that something that the Illuminati did, that they were going to kidnap this girl, that her parents would stage her death, and that she would come back in 2008 with the smash hit I Kissed a Girl as Katy Perry.
See, this already to me is crazy. And so many people had DM'd us, I want to hear about this theory. I also wanted to hear about it because I wasn't familiar with it until people started DMing that. I think this is nuts. The first part where you said, first of all, didn't they find the body?
Yes.
Like, the dad had the body, right? How did they know she would be a star? Like, you can't just be like, you're going to be a star. If everybody could be a star that way, I'm going to be a star.
Yeah.
Boom.
It is preposterous. And it's one of those that that I think, like, next week we might just have to do, like, a what is the Illuminati? Because there is, like, you just hear people say, oh, it's the Illuminati. And you're like, oh, shit. Like, you know you're supposed to be, like, kind of scared, but you don't really know what or why.
Yeah, I have no idea why.
And you just know that, like, Beyonce and Jay-Z may be in the Illuminati. But also, once again,
who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, definitely next week we'll do a deep dive into that. Because it's always in these theories as well. Like, the Illuminati jumped in. And I think that's where they get everybody with the theories. Because once you throw because you're like, wait, how would you pick up a star? And you just said to me, the Illuminati.
Well, the Illuminati. Like, that's why. Which is why I did end up, like, reading this full, as I was researching this, I ended up reading, like, this full, like, what is the Illuminati article, and was very intrigued, which is why we can talk about that next. But basically this whole thing, and I think it's funny because people do see this theory and they just see the photos, right? It's like, yeah, you see the pictures of her and you see pictures of Katy Perry and you're like, oh, I could see it. Like, they do kind of look alike. And then you're like, oh, I wonder, like, that's an interesting theory because you see the resemblance. And you're like, oh, I wonder what else there is to this. Mm-hmm. There's literally nothing else to it.
Nothing.
Like, it's literally just that they basically look similar. This guy also claimed that their parents look similar, saying that JonBenet's parents look similar to Katy Perry's parents and that Katy Perry's dad just shaved his head and that Katy Perry's mom just lost weight. And if you did looked at those two things, you would think that the parents could potentially look very similar. Another YouTuber under the name Jungle Surfer, whose video is now also, of course, taken down, claims that it has to be true because they have the same eyebrows and that apparently he claims that eyebrows don't really change much on a person after you're born, which is a wild claim because eyebrows you can change so easily.
I've had my eyebrows changed upwards.
You can change eyebrows so easily.
At least 5 times I've changed my eyebrow shape.
Yeah.
You should have seen these things back in like 10th grade.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can change those pretty easily. And then there was a YouTuber, VK33, who claims that this evidence that in Katy Perry's memoir, Katy Perry has a memoir, mm-hmm, which I did not know, she has a line in it that says, she's like talking about being a young kid and performing, and she said, not that I was one of those stage kids, there was no JonBenet Ramsey inside of me waiting to burst out. He latched on to he or she or whoever latched on to that because the Illuminati's always, they say the Illuminati always leaves clues in plain sight to be found. So they're like, this is it. Like, this is the clue that they left for everybody that Katy Perry said this,
ridiculous,
wrote this in her memoir, that the Illuminati always leaves clues for people to find. It really gets funnier and funnier because it's so, mm-hmm, ridiculous. This person also claimed that because JonBenet, when she was in a pageant, sang God Bless America, she knows the words God Bless America. And in 2009, Katy Perry tweeted some of the lyrics of God Bless America. Therefore, they both know the lyrics of God Bless America. Therefore, they are the same person.
Them and everybody else in the world.
Like, really just insane. He also said that Katy Perry's music videos have a common theme of rebirth, which could be, you know, taken as she was saying she was reborn as a different person. I don't think that's necessarily true. I've seen a lot of Katy Perry, yeah, music videos. Not most of them, I feel like,
Teenage
don't have
Dream
that. Don't have
is
that
rebirth
theme.
I don't know.
So that's kind of really the evidence behind it.
The parents don't look alike. That's another thing. There's, mm-hmm, evidence, and then you go fact check it. The parents don't look alike.
No.
The mom just has the same color hair,
yep,
and the dad looks like he could be going bald. And,
yep,
then all of a sudden you look at Katy Perry's parents and they look different.
And you also see that JonBenet's mother, Patsy, died in 2006 from ovarian cancer, and Katy Perry's mom is still alive. So we have
solves
that. All right. So obviously this is one that is so blatantly fake. It's people find it funny just because there is a physical resemblance. When you look at it, it's absolutely impossible. Katy Perry was born in 1984. She was 12 when this murder happened. She had a Christian pop album called Katie Hudson come out in 2001 when she was 17. And there's like real facts of her being picked up and dropped by labels multiple times from 2001 to 2008. Really, the only explanation for why this happened is the Illuminati. Like, there's no other like concrete reason to explain why the parents or anybody would stage something like this. It's really just because they look alike.
Right. And Katy Perry has responded to this before.
Yes, she has.
When Billy on the Street asked her, people were pissed that he did that.
So when she hosted the VMAs,
yes,
in 2017, there was like a skit about it. And people were very upset.
People were really upset.
So
don't be upset with us, but
no.
We're just stating the conspiracy.
Yeah, well, this is completely, this is the conspiracy. This is what it is. And it's bullshit. That's what we're saying. Billy Eichner had said, like, blink twice if you're really JonBenet Ramsey. And she was like, no, that's not real. And they kind of got into it. And it was, you know, clearly a joke, but people were upset about it, saying that, you know, obviously this poor girl's murder is not a joke. How could you joke about this? So she is clearly aware of it and knows that it's ridiculous. And there, yeah, I mean, it's pretty, pretty clear as day that it's not couldn't possibly be a real thing.
I'm going to go with it's not real. And if you're still thinking this is real, double check yourself.
Yeah.
Just check it again.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely one of the more, I guess, attractive theories, just because you have this crazy unsolved murder of a young girl who's pageant girl, the whole thing. You have Katy Perry, obviously massive superstar. So it's like you have two huge things that wouldn't it be crazy if they were combined? You know,
it's fun to think about.
Yeah.
Although,
but it's just
so wrong.
completely out of this world, far fetched.
But next week we'll dive into the Illuminati.
Yeah, the Illuminati is very interesting. Like,
very
just
interesting.
The history.
We'll tiptoe
of the
around it. We'll tiptoe. We'll be cautious.
Yeah, that's another
but we're
thing
have to
that
dive
I'm
in.
Right. We have to talk about it. But all I know is that I should be scared of the Illuminati. You know, like,
well,
that's,
we just have to dive in.
Yeah, yeah.
Head first.
Yep.
Let's not be scared. All right, that wraps up today's episode. We hope you have a fantastic week. Get ready for another episode of The Bachelor tonight if you're listening on Monday, and we'll be back on Thursday with our Bachelor recaps with Trent.
Am I really that sort of failed? Fucking a fail, nothing is real. Said you had no discipline, savoring what passion was left in my mind. Keep perspective on my timeline. I don't need it, I don't want it. You really. The crimson light, making you side with me. It's alright if you make a friend. Picking sides, making your eyes at me. There's no shame in close hands, lost ties.
Let me live my life and come party with my friend. That's all I want.